Good morning. This is Rob. Who's
Good morning.
On?
Good morning.
Hey, Rob.
We are all on.
Oh, good, because Ginger called and said she couldn't get on. I don't know.
Yes, that... we have her on.
Oh, hello. Good, okay. Hi, good. I called Cindy and said, I don't have Ginger's number. I don't know how to help.
Sorry.
All right. That's okay. We're good, I think. So, before we get started, what is on your mind?
We have a list.
Yay.
Did you, by any chance, receive our information that we mailed you?
I did. Thank you so much. I have it right in front of me.
Perfect. So, you know, I think in our last call we mentioned that we felt like that was kind of our game board. Wanted your thoughts on it.
Well, first of all, I'm thrilled that you're doing anything. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't mean anything, but I mean you're doing a ton and you're doing it well. Okay. So I almost don't want to change anything because it's working for you. But I will. Let's spend a few minutes on other things, and I'll think, because I was so thrilled that you're... Here's my problem. My people with talent and ambition do this, right?
Right.
The people that have never done it, are not that ambitious, don't do it. They just literally don't do it. They don't track anything. They don't track their activity. They don't track... prospects, they don't track, you know, revenues, net new money, and there's such a massive gap between the do's and the don'ts. It's just, as a coach, it's so frustrating. This is my biggest challenge that I have, and I don't think it's from lack of desire or, I think it's fear and initiative and lack of knowledge. I think if we guided them through it, they probably would do it. But so far there's, you know, it's just a step I haven't taken, and I need to figure out a process to help them kind of go from A to B to C to D. But anyway, you've got it, so God bless you. I'm all on board with whatever you're doing, because it's working.
Kristen, did you send him your net new money spreadsheet?
Yes, we did.
How about that, Rob? She tracks everything, doesn't she?
Well, I'm just shocked. I've been bragging about you guys all week.
It just shows up on my desk every once in a while.
It's just wonderful. And, you know, it's, like I said, I mean, I get to do some speaking and around the country and, you know, about things that are impressing me and how to use process. And that came up. I mean, I can't help it but come up because I'm so excited about what you're doing. And people are like, wow, how do you get that to happen? You know, it's just amazing. So anyway, way to go. You're making news without me telling them who you are.
Well, and so you view that as kind of the game board and tracking and accountability.
Yeah.
That kind of all falls in there. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. I mean, we could do more, and we can think about that, but don't stop doing what you're doing.
Gotcha.
I don't want to tell you to do more until you say, you know what, I think we could do a little more. What else should we do?
Right.
All right.
So we have a couple, two updates. I had a COI meeting this past week, I have not met this CPA in person. We've talked a couple years, and just to remind you, I scheduled this because we had a situation right at tax filing date where The client unexpectedly needed more money than what we had set aside because they spent it at their other advisor's firm.
Right.
We gave a proposal, and they ended up at the last minute going with the other advisor's proposal. So, you know, this one was not only to meet the CPA, but it was also to kind of gain some knowledge as to what kind of happened behind the scenes and what we could have maybe done better. And so I went to his place, and the very first thing that he said to me, other than, you know, thank you for coming, was, I apologize for how that situation went with Tom and Tara Lynn. And I was like, well, there's no apology on your part, you know. And so he basically went through, I just said, you know, what could we have done better? And I did find out he did not know they needed money either. He thought they had it set aside at the other place. So he found out two or three days before tax filing date, just like we did. So what he said was just that fire drill would have been nice if we didn't even have to go through it. And he goes, the only way maybe the two of us would have known about it is if, A, the advisor had informed him on the other side, or if the clients had said something to us, which, of course, they didn't. Now, granted, this could have just been because he was in front of me, but he said, I did like your strategy because it was a strategy that we, over 2 years, could have figured out a way to pay, because it was a two-year fixed loan. That way we didn't have to sell and basically affect the investment strategies, which is what we did. And he goes, I didn't really like that because now we got to recreate strategies versus us being able to figure out a way over a two-year period paying it off. He said that he feels like the advisor on the other side, because he has more, he has connections with the university that this client used to work at. He has a lot of the coaches, some of the others, that he feels like that's potentially maybe where they have more of a relationship, was his thought process.
Yep.
So I gained a little knowledge there, but then I also, you know, asked him if this particular client was his normal client, and he actually said no. He said he's more of a small business, one that owns small businesses that will be eventually selling them. I have given his name, and he's aware of that I've given his name to a client who did not have a favorable tax planning season, so wanted a new CPA, and he knows he's one of three. He said he was, and then he asked about John and I and how we work as a team. He took down some notes. So we've agreed to meet again, and hopefully in between that time period, we will have had an interview with the prospect, you know, client that I have for him. So,
good.
I don't know if you'll be a good center of influence. I'm going to use this particular client that's going to interview it just to kind of also, provide me with any insight as to whether or not I feel like going forward he would be, you know, one to continue to work with.
Did it sound like he would meet your minimums, his average client? Were you clear about that?
We didn't say dollar amounts, but, yes, definitely, from what
okay.
He was saying. He was talking about stock options, all the different things that high net worth clients would have to have.
And is he working, did you ask him whether he was working with other FAs in the market and, you know, where you'd rank basically and things like that?
The conversation was that a majority of his clients have more than one FA.
Mm-hmm.
And that very few have more than two.
Right.
So that was the one thing that was very similar to the existing client that we had, because he has two FAs. And he goes, I don't like to have any more than two, because then it's too much diversification, too much risk. So he understands all of that. He goes, the problem he has, and this was something he brought up with our client situation, is that the FAs may not coordinate very well together because they're competitors. He goes, but no, I did not specifically ask him, because he's the only client. This client is the only client that he does the tax returns of.
Okay. Okay, but you felt he was a reasonably good prospect for you guys.
Reasonable to continue to see over the next, couple of months, yes.
Right, okay.
I'm not ready to commit completely, but yeah. I'm not ready to walk away either.
Okay. How many do you have now that you would consider solid CPAs?
John, would you say, I would say maybe three.
Well, you got the group over Bruce Ross.
Right.
You got Bill Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Who else do you
find? Those were the.
Yeah, there's a couple firms that we, there's different CPAs at different firms. Let's say 5 to 6.
Okay, that's a pretty nice number.
Yeah.
The key is, we probably, other than, I have a couple that I've thought of that they've suggested combining, like the client had more assets in another firm, where they consolidate. So the majority of these CPAs, though, haven't really referred recently new clients.
Yeah, and one we've sent quite a bit of new business to.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones, I understand, two we've sent new business to this
mm-hmm.
year. And part of that consolidation in the one, I think, may have been from the fact that we've sent some business that way.
Right.
The other one is one of the two gentlemen that I had lunch with a couple of weeks ago, and we sent quite a bit of business to him, and it's time to have a one-on-one meeting and have the heart-to-heart talk.
Yeah. Well, I think that, this whole idea of having them come and visit you, visit them as a team, and then having them visit you as a team may seem like it's kind of extraordinary, but I think it says, hey, we really want to take this seriously. Think about if you were going to merge companies, what you'd go through in order to merge. The idea is that you really want to start to do some business together. In order to do that and be comfortable with it, you really want to know what it is that they do and how they interact with our clients. And they really should know exactly what you do and how you do it. And that's where you use your 5-star model to present yourselves in a much more efficient, effective way than typically they've ever heard of. What you're doing is different. And that's the model. That's what you have to get across, is that we're not just, we don't want to be one of two financial advisors with clients.
Mm-hmm.
We clearly have the capability of being everything that they need, and we eliminate the problem of risk when we manage all their assets. We don't eliminate it in terms of it being there. We mitigate it by knowing what each client has. And let's face it, Mr. CPA, isn't it easier to do business with one financial advisor when you're doing the taxes than two? It's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I think here's the way I think you got to think of this. is that we're in this for multi-generational planning for our company. We're not in it for the next 12 months. We're in it for how long it takes to develop real friendships and relationships that last a lifetime. And that's what we want to do. I mean, that's truly what you want. How long does it take to develop a real friendship? Probably at the minimum 2 years, if you were going to really make a brand new friend that was a serious lifetime friend. And that's what we're trying to do here. Because it's somebody that you want to meet with monthly because you like them. Not because you have to, because it's business. And to me, that's the difference here. You're going to not have a million of these. You're going to have a few that you really like and you want to see and you want to spend time with. So, you know, maybe you go through more of them. Maybe some are just business.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's a friendship, friends help each other. Friends send business to each other. And to me, that's the kind of the tipping point on these relationships. A friend does not receive 4 introductions or 4 new clients and not give one back. I mean, that's not what you do. You don't get invited 4 times over to somebody's house for dinner and never reciprocate. It just isn't the way business is done.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just a perspective that I've gained over time here, trying to figure out what's the difference between those people that do this so well and those people that struggle with it. And it's a friendship. It's a trust. It's a that's the key element that I've been able to garner from it. Comments, John? What do you think?
Well, with the one guy that, you know, that we sent quite a bit of business to, I mean, I think I just need to have that conversation with him. And if that is the situation, he's done a nice job. He bought a practice of a CPA, a smaller firm that we had a lot of clients with. So that kind of accelerated the, you know, our interaction with them. And then we have sent him some new business. I think he gets it. But I think I just need to have that discussion with him. And if not, I think we need to rethink it as these situations come up where Tracy had the one client that wasn't happy with the situation. You know, we don't want to steer him in one direction, but, I think we need to find out where the reciprocity is going to come from.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if it's like with clients. You know, whenever I tell you guys to do your 12-4-2s, and when you're not happy with a 12-4-2, that says something, right? That's screaming at us,
yeah,
loud and clear. We're not sure what it's screaming, but it's screaming. Is it screaming the client's too small? Is it screaming the client doesn't want to hear from us? Is it screaming the client thinks we're selling them something every time we call? What is that situation yelling at us? What is it? What's the other side of it? And the same thing here, where FAs go, I don't want to meet with him monthly, or he doesn't want to meet with me monthly. And the question is, if he was a really good friend, you'd enjoy having a coffee with him monthly, or a lunch, or a breakfast, or something. And if not, why not? What's wrong? There's something wrong, right?
Yes.
And so that, to me, is the piece that we've got to examine. Don't just say, well, you know, my clients don't want to hear from me monthly. Well, wait a minute. Of course they do. If you've got something to tell them, if you're educating them, you're helping them, you're listening to them. So, you know, this is the piece where we're going beyond the easy answer of, well, okay, do it quarterly then, you know, or do it semi-annually. Or I don't like those answers, you know. I don't want to accept those answers. I want to solve the problem and get to the people that want to meet with us monthly. Anyway, you would, oh, there, so good meeting. But we've still got to find out more, don't we? We want to find out more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's my thing. Don't be afraid to ask the probing questions. You know, ask the probing questions so you can get a lot done in one meeting. And it may feel slightly uncomfortable, but you know what? It's business, you know? Let's ask. Courage.
Okay.
Here's your line, Rob. Fortune favors the bold.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in everything, isn't it? I mean,
it's
in everything. Those that play not to lose. You know, when they play golf, they play not to lose. They don't win. You know, it's in everything. It's in every single thing that I see where there's overachievement versus underachievement, where there's success versus mediocrity. Everything is courage, boldness, and controlling and managing fear. It's always fear. I like the boldness. It's a happier way of saying avoiding, eliminating fear.
All right.
So the other thing we wanted to update you about was an update on one of the meetings that I had the week prior where I asked them the value experience question. And I mentioned to you I found out they had IRAs outside of here that I didn't know about. They're transferring those assets in.
Great.
So, and then John asked two clients this week the value experience question, and he was going to give you kind of an update.
You go ahead and give it to
him. Well, the one of them was... Well, one, I wasn't there to give an update.
No,
you only.
One of them looked at me and he goes, "That's a good question." He goes, "I got to think about that for a while." What did Brent say? Yeah, which he's all over the place. And when we started going through the supernova information, he used to be the president of an insurance company, and he said, "Wow, how many clients do you have?" And I told him, and he goes, "How are you going to have time to do all that?" And I said, "Well, you know, you're the first person that's asked me that." And I went through and we did the segmentation of the book, and I stopped and I said, "John, do you want to know if you made it or not?" That's his name's John also. That's if you made the cut. And, you know, we just got talking and I explained it to him. And I still don't think he was exactly clear about how we were going to do it. But we'll see as things go on.
Well, you'll prove to him. I mean, may be questioning whether or not you'll follow through.
Very possibly. Tracy, what did Brent?
Well, so another one was when John and I were in a meeting together, and when we asked, he goes, "Well, I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty satisfied. I'm pretty happy." And then John goes, "Well, how can I get rid of the word? What do we need to do to get rid of the word 'pretty'? And you're just happy." You're happy, not pretty happy. And he mentioned communication. Which is going to be resolved, obviously, with the Supernova 1242. And, you know, he gave some example of more like education, like when one of my stocks goes down, you know, why did it go down, just more kind of on the education communication side. Was his response back. So
we'd followed up on that. I mean, you know, we've had with the earnings season, there's always a blow up going on out there. And he asked about one of his healthcare stocks, and there was a thing on that. But I wasn't just going to send it to him. I was going to call him and let him know, this is why I'm sending it to you.
Sure.
And Kristen had a call with him on Friday, and there was a couple follow up things. So, but I thought that was good feedback for us.
It's really good. Try asking, what are the three things that you valued the most from your experience in the last year or so?
See how that goes.
Okay. So that you don't get the answer of you're happy and
You're not getting enough, let me think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not getting a concrete answer. You're getting a wishy-washy answer. And so what are the three things? Now you're really going to make them think. Okay, and they can come up with one or two. You know, maybe they don't come up with three, but typically when you ask in threes, the third one is the most important. Because they've had kind of time to think, and they throw out sort of a softball on the first one, and then, you know, a little something on the second one, and then the third one is the one that means the most to them because they've had time to think. So this is good. This is really good. The reality is anytime you're doing a survey question, you got to be ready for whatever comes up. It might be something very different from what you... And what'll be fun is seeing the reaction after they've gotten a few months of 12-4-2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and see what kind of reaction you get from it. So it's very important. It's really good. One of the things that I was always disappointed in is that we never were able to really measure customer satisfaction. And as much as I got accolades for raising productivity with UBS, I never got the benefit of watching customer satisfaction go from, you know, good to great or from fair to good to great, which I thought would have been something that was incredibly valuable to the firm and then to us because it would have increased the value of the experience that I was creating. So, you know, the more you can survey them anecdotally for yourself, I think it will reinforce the work that you're doing. Or we're going to learn something that I didn't, you know, that I can't anticipate. So, all good. Very good. Thank you. What else?
The other ones were more questions. So, you know, we listened to the video. One of the things is, so phase two.
Yes.
Are you our coach?
I'm your coach, sure.
Okay. Well, when we were listening to the video, it talked about going to webinars and listening to some of the other coaches. We weren't sure if that meant we were going to have more than one coach going through the next 9 months or not. We may have just misunderstood that.
Yeah, I think it just means that, you know, whoever your coach is going to guide you through this.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
You stay with me.
Okay, perfect. That's what we wanted. So you answered that correctly.
Yeah.
And we weren't able. Where were the webinars? I tried to find them and wasn't able to.
Oh, really? Well, that's bad.
Well.
I
went to where I thought, you know, I logged in, but I didn't, so it wasn't easy. I guess it wasn't, like, right there. So is that something that I should ask Cindy, or who should I ask?
I'm going to have Cindy call you.
Okay, perfect. Good.
I don't like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
I did them. You know, I did them. I want you to be able to see them.
Right. Right.
They don't do me any good unless people can see them easily.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, our weekly call videos are very easy. But I went in there, I didn't see where they were.
Keep in mind the things that everything that I have on the videos now is in the book, the
right.
Supernova Multiplier, and that's just came to me in its final version. I'm supposed to listen to it now, which I will do, and then it will be ready for. You'll be able to download it and listen, and I think that will be sort of a breakthrough for everybody just because it's an easy way to hear it over and over, and you'll, you know, a lot of these ideas take a while to mature or marinate in your brain and to the point where you have the confidence to use them. I think that listening to the chapters over and over, you'll get more and more and more comfortable with the ideas, and then be more comfortable using them. I'm convinced of this, and you guys are really good at this, and you're good students. So I want you to do that. So I'll let you know as soon as it is in audio form.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. So then on the video this for this week, it was talking about, you know, the failures.
Yes. Yep.
You know, where you see, I guess, the breakdown occurs. There were a couple that I, you know, thought we could fall into, but the one for me was just kind of the best practices of sticking to what we, you know, what best practices we decide to implement is just make sure we stick with it.
Okay.
So I wanted you to know that for, I guess, the next 9 months, you know, that's one of the concerns is making sure that we stick with what we agree to do.
So the question becomes, how do you use me as your accountability coach?
Mm-hmm. Have you been an accountability coach before?
Always.
What have you found that, you know, what have you found that works the best on, you know, if we tell you that we want to make sure we stick with the Supernova 1242 in regards to the meetings and to the calls, how do we best use you as the accountability coach with something like that?
Well, I think that one's pretty easy because
right.
you're gonna do that one, and so you just tell me we did it. You know, we did 1242.
Right.
We didn't miss a meeting. I think that's one of the things you can put into whatever you want to be held accountable. I would put into your email. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
And I would make that add that little piece of total number of calls set and total number of calls completed.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself the satisfaction of setting, you know, 25 calls this week, and we did 25.
Okay.
All right. So
or,
I think that
or,
that, yeah, whatever it was, that part is, that's how I would do that. Yeah, whatever you decide you want to do in terms of marketing and sales and prospecting, those are the hard ones. All the rest is kind of easy. The prospecting ones are the ones that always fall by the wayside when there's any kind of time crunch or any kind of, you know, we always put them last, and we shouldn't. We should make them as sacred as we do our client 1242s.
Mm-hmm.
So you make your COI meetings critical. You know, mm-hmm. We're going to have one a week. Okay, or whatever we're going to do, two a week, They're going to be scheduled just like our 1242s.
Okay.
Or we're going to meet and discuss niche marketing every week. And so the folder is going to pop up on that niche, and you and John are going to get together and talk about that niche and what progress you're making on it and how you're developing the center of influence inside that niche, and then you'll make progress. And guys, that's to me, that's the most fun. I mean, to me, that's really fun stuff. But that's just me, because I enjoy it. You know, I enjoy opening new relationships and cracking new markets and taking share from other people and whatever. But there's 7 different strategies, and so you make up your mind, okay, we're going to hit these 3 hard, and we're going to do them. And then we'll pick up a 4th when we're ready. That kind of thing. That's to me what this week is kind of to decide, what do you want me to hold you accountable to in terms of marketing? You're doing the other, and you're doing it great.
Okay. So, like, if we say that we're wanting to do the CUIs is one of our marketings, that's something or asking the value experience question.
Yes.
Those are 2 that I think right now I would say we're wanting to make, marketing-wise that we're wanting to do.
Yep.
I think that's something that we'll need to continue, but those were the 2 that I felt like resonated with us, and we've tried, the last couple of weeks, between meetings and asking the question, that I feel like going forward, that's something that we'll continue to want to do.
Great. And you know the destination on both of those, right? So each one has a beginning, a middle, and an end, right? In terms
right.
of, so COIs is to develop COIs to the point where you're meeting with them on a monthly basis and you're getting a regular flow of introductions from them. So what you're doing now is the beginning, you get a middle, and then you get the end. And so you're always moving the prospect, the center of influence, down the path. Even if you have solid ones already, you want to be moving them down the path till they are giving you regular set introductions. Okay?
Okay.
And the value question is the beginning of the VIP, the whole VIPSA process.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to continue to ask the value question until we get really good at it, and then we're going to move on to transitioning to brainstorming.
Right.
Okay.
I think those are 2 marketing things that we want to continue to work on. Mm-hmm.
And you guys tell me, what is the proper pace? Okay. What's the pace of the progress in these initiatives? Because clearly in the past I've failed because I expect somebody to go faster than they're willing to go, and I lose them along the way. Okay. So as your coach, I don't want you lifting too many weights where you don't want to come back to the gym. I want you to, and I don't want you to get hurt. I want you to move along at a pace where you continue to enjoy it, you're seeing progress, and you don't get discouraged.
I think we might be able to answer that question after we go through a little bit, you know, a little longer.
Good.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Good. Good. So do you, part of your homework is to get the new book and read the chapters on centers of influence and VISTA. Okay?
Okay, now that is the multiplier book, right? When you say new
That's
book?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right, the multiplier.
I think we have that already. Okay.
Just read those two chapters and, you know, read the chapters a couple of times because this is going to be your area of focus. So I want you to be the experts on these two chapters.
Okay. Perfect.
Good.
All right.
What else?
Those were all the notes I had. I guess one question that just kind of came up, and I John apologizes, but he had to step out because he had a lunch at 12:30. So.
Roger.
But Ginger, Kristen, just kind of, is there? And you don't need to know the answer to this now, and maybe Rob can tell us if it's even doable. Is there something for them that they could continue, you know, 'cause that's kind of the marketing, which would be John and I, but is there something for Kristen and Ginger along the way that could continue?
Absolutely. The
okay.
Yeah. The for Kristen, it's the it's continue to expand the email to include
mm-hmm.
the 12-4-2s. And to include the number of times that you've asked the value question and the number
okay.
of meetings and the number of meetings you're having with centers of influence.
Okay.
Okay. And then you guys come up with goals that you want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So you're gonna only you know what those goals should be.
Right.
Right? How many centers of influence meetings should I have a week? How many times should I ask the value question? You decide that. And then
okay.
Kristen can hold you accountable to those goals.
All right.
And that's the teamwork. So there's your accountability coach. You know, there's Rob sitting on Kristen's shoulder, you know, as she asks you those questions. You're seeing me, right? And
mm-hmm.
and going, okay, we're making progress. The accountability coach is manifesting itself in Kristen, which is great. Then the team is working together to achieve goals that you might not have done otherwise.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, that's up to you guys, how you want to do that. So just, you know, do the 12-4-2s are part of it too. So there's three things, right? The two value question centers of influence and the 12-4-2 meetings with clients. So, you know, that's a lot to track and that's a nice addition and it fits in with the game board and fits in with everything else you're doing. So,
okay.
All right.
Okay.
One of the things is your brain, have I overdone it or are you able to take on a little more? What do you think?
Well, why try me? What are you thinking?
Well, I have this idea, okay?
Okay.
And I'd like somebody to try it. I've got a guy down in Coral Gables who's doing some of it, but he's doing a great job with it, and it's exciting. But I haven't had anybody do the whole thing because I've actually never articulated the whole thing. Here's the whole thing. I'd like sometime, if you have time, Kristen, to do a spreadsheet. And on the spreadsheet, you'd start out with suspect. Prospect, next column's prospect. Next column is customer. Next column is client. Next column is advocate. And the final column is ambassador. Okay. So this is the progress that anybody that comes into your world as a potential client would go through, hopefully. And all your clients are somewhere in this continuum. So even though you have them as a client, doesn't mean that they're done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So another term for advocate would be center of influence. So you can make, you know, advocate / parentheses center of influence. So let me describe what each one is. A suspect is somebody that you have been either introduced to or you've discovered, but somehow they are a person of interest for you.
Okay.
A prospect is someone who has the ability, and they are, meaning they, you like them, you seem to trust them, they fit all of the qualities that you see in a client. They just aren't a client yet.
All right.
They have an interest, and they're willing to do it within a reasonable period of time. Otherwise, they're just a suspect. So a prospect is somebody that is real. A customer is somebody that has agreed to do business with you, but has not done a financial plan. They aren't, you know, they're still in the onboarding, getting to know you. You've introduced 1242. You're putting them through the financial plan. And you know, you've got customers that haven't agreed to do a financial plan.
Oh, right. And he has them now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you've got customers. So I want to know who are all the customers that haven't done a financial plan, reluctant to do 1242, really not a client. A client is somebody that's done a financial plan, does 1242, listens to you, likes you, and does business with you, and you pretty much control them. They're a real client.
Mm-hmm.
An ambassador is somebody that is a client, and they like you so much, they'll send you introductions without you asking.
Okay.
An ambassador does it every year.
Okay.
Okay. So theoretically,
When you say does it every year, meaning gives you an introduction without you asking, or does the plan and everything?
No, they send you a client every year that becomes a client.
Gotcha.
It can't be somebody that just sends you an introduction. Now, what I want you to do eventually is to create an ambassadors club so that those people that send you introductions and they become a client are welcomed into the Ambassadors Club every year, and you give them a little recognition, maybe have dinner with them as a group, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So theoretically, you'd have this spreadsheet going full bore all the time.
Okay.
And this is my dream now that you do this. So, Kristen, if you can do this, good luck. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see somebody do this beautifully, you know, list all the – and then you've got – whenever you look at it, you go, you know, this guy's a customer. I got to turn him into a client.
Client. Mm-hmm.
they can never stay. They can never stay in the column they're in very long. You're always trying to get them over to the right-hand column.
Okay.
This guy's a great client, but he's never sent us an introduction. What's wrong? Why isn't it?
Okay.
And so if you look at a bell curve on this thing, most of the names are going to be under client, right?
Right. Right.
And what we want is we want it to be sort of an M or something. We want to have a lot of suspects, a lot of prospects, very few customers, lots of clients, few good advocates, and a few good ambassadors. You know, not a few, but I mean, what if there were 10 ambassadors that sent you introductions every single year? That'd be like the goal, right? That'd be like a miracle.
Right. Okay.
So it'd be fun to do this to see what we have now. How many suspects do we have? How many prospects do we have? How many customers? How many clients? How many advocates? How many ambassadors? And that gives us a starting point of, you know, you say, what do you want to do for the next 9 months? Let's build this. This is a great business plan. You know, we can draw up a really complicated business plan with all kinds of things and numbers and all this. But this is a good one. This is it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Move from left to right as fast as we can. And everybody can work on it. Everybody has a piece of this. Everybody has a purpose and a part and play in doing this. So I love it. And anyway, I thought about it. These are the weird things I dream up at night.
I don't remember my dreams, so that sounds good. Well,
All right. That's it?
All right.
Any more questions? No. Okay.
Nope.
Hey,
we did it.
Have fun. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thanks.